This is Self-Care and Soul Care for the Caregiver, and I'm your host, Sandra Peoples. To caregivers like us, self-care isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. We want to take better care of ourselves so we're able to care for our loved ones who rely on us. This is episode 3, and we're doing a series about the keys to a calm Christmas. In episode 1, we talked about responding to others' expectations of our families. In episode 2, we focused on managing our own emotions and responses. Today is especially for those of us who have children with special needs. I'm going to share tips for helping them regulate their sensory needs and remain calm when they're out of their regular routines. Christmas break can be especially tough on our kids, and therefore, on the entire family. But I hope today's episode helps. Be sure to listen all the way to the end to find out how to listen to a bonus episode, the fourth key to a calm Christmas. Today we're talking about one of the biggest challenges in our house, the lack of routine when we're out for Christmas break. Even though it's just 2 weeks, those 2 weeks are packed with extra church services and family activities. No day is exactly like the one before, and for our kids who thrive on routine, this can be really hard. If you and I haven't already connected through my website, my books, or on social media, let me tell you a little bit about my family. We live outside of Houston, Texas, where my husband is a pastor. We have two boys, David and James. James is 12 years old, and he has level 3 autism, along with what we call comorbid diagnosis like anxiety and OCD. He's a sensory seeker who is on the move all day long until he crashes at night, often not sleeping as long as we'd like. I have lots of practical ideas to share today, but first, I want to share my go-to phrase for Christmas break. The less flexible my child is, the more flexible I need to be. I'm the adult and I have to act like it, even when I'm feeling stressed or embarrassed. That means I may have to bend some of my usual standards to keep the peace. For example, I have a friend who has 3 kids on the autism spectrum, and we talked about what was causing the most stress in her day. And she said, when they don't make their beds, it sets me off, and we have an awful morning. I get angry, they shut down, it can ruin the entire day. So here was my solution. Don't make them make their beds. If it's that stressful, is a made bed really worth it? It doesn't sound like it. Or if it is really that important to you, take steps to decrease the stress before or after they are supposed to make their beds. The night before, you can go over the schedule for tomorrow morning. After you get dressed and put your pajamas in the dirty clothes hamper, then you make your bed. On the way out the door, if you notice it isn't done, make another plan. As soon as we get back, we're going to make your bed together. We have to be flexible when we go out to eat, when we ride in the car for a long time, when our kids have to wear clothes they don't like. Whatever situation is the most challenging in your day, find a way to be more flexible, to give in a little bit so the entire day doesn't break apart. A few years ago, Hurricane Harvey hit our area. As I watched the newscast, especially those from the coast, I noticed that the palm trees were bending as the wind whipped by, gusting well over 100 miles per hour. They bent, but they didn't break. Why? Because God created them to be flexible. I don't want to break this Christmas season, so I will remember the palm tree and be flexible when it's best for my family. Here are a few other ways that we've learned to help James when he is out of his routine. First, we use first, then throughout the day. Here's an example. First, we'll eat breakfast, then you can get on your iPad. Or first, we'll go to church, then we can go to grandma's house and open presents. We continue to say first, then, because it helps James to know what's coming next. The next thing we do is something that we did over the summer that turned out to be a huge help. We make a visual schedule. So I actually took pictures of James doing some of his favorite things. I printed them out and then I put them on a schedule so he could see what was going to happen that day. Even small things like read books and rest time were on the board. That way he knew what to expect for the entire day. The third thing that we do that helps a lot is use a visual timer. For James, you can use that visual timer so he sees how much time is left until the next activity. If you're not familiar with one, you set the time, say, for like 10 minutes, and the whole length is lit up with red for 10 minutes, and then as the time ticks away, the red goes away. So there's a visual representation for how much time is left. Our older son, David, is a typical kid, but he also thrives on routine and doesn't like being surprised. So for him, we can just give him a countdown. It doesn't have to be a visual timer. We could say something like, you have 10 more minutes on the Xbox, and then it's time for lunch. So those three things, using first then, making a visual schedule, and using a timer, have been a huge help in helping our sensory kids know how to better regulate when they are out of their regular routine. Another cause of stress over the Christmas break is sensory issues. One of my favorite Christmas books when I was growing up is called The Sweet Smell of Christmas, and it is a scented storybook. So you can scratch and sniff a pine tree, an orange, hot chocolate, a candy cane. You just keep flipping through the book and there's new things to smell. But when I bought it for my own boys, they reacted to it differently than I did over 30 years ago. David, when he was little, wrinkled his nose and said, "Too smelly," and he didn't want to open it again. James loved the smells and carried it around, scratching the smelly spots in the book until there wasn't anything left to smell. When I observed my sensory avoider and my sensory seeker reading the book, it helped me realize all the sensory experiences Christmas brings. Think of the changes in temperature, especially if you live in a cold climate like we did when we lived in Pennsylvania, which also brings changes to the clothes your kids have to wear, shoes and socks, and maybe itchy hats and scarves, and all the lights you put on the tree and around the outside of the house, and some of them twinkle. There's extra noise of Christmas songs that we love to play this time of year, even if your house is normally quiet, and the smells of cookies baking or apple cider simmering. All of these details are what makes Christmas feel like Christmas to most of us, but our kids can be overwhelmed by the changes. When we're out of school for breaks, we plan a sensory diet to make sure James is getting his sensory needs met. He's mostly a sensory seeker, but he has some big avoidances as well. Here's what we do, and maybe these ideas will help your family. For sensory seekers, we go outside. Even if you live in a cooler climate, it's still good for our kids to spend time outside. We go through for a family hike through a state park here in Houston. If it's especially warm, like it was a couple Christmases ago, we may go to the beach. We love to find swings. Even if we're traveling somewhere, we can usually find a park that has swings to help what is called his vestibular regulation. The second thing we do is try to meet the needs before they become an issue. So James has pica, which means he puts non-food items in his mouth. And it's gotten better as he's gotten older, but this time of year, it can really be tough because there are Christmas ornaments that look like food, and there's lots of different textures like tinsel. To help him, we offer lots of crunchy foods like apples and carrots, so he really works those mouth muscles and gets sensory input. We also have chew tubes for times that he really needs them. The third thing we do is work out those big and little muscle groups. We have a little trampoline in the house that he can jump in. We can wrap him up tight like a burrito with his head out, of course. He gets lots of tickles because he loves tickles. We play with Play-Doh. We zoom cars around on the floor. So he's working the big muscle groups and his fine motor skills. For sensory avoiders, we calm down our home environment. So even if we spend time at a relative's house or a church where it looks very different than usual, James can come home and feel comfortable. We still have a tree up, but the lights are soft white and they don't twinkle. We also use noise-reducing headphones for the places we know will be loud, like restaurants or the grocery store. And the third thing we've done, well, actually, James did it himself. At school, they converted a closet that doesn't lock into a safe and soft space for the kids to go when they feel overwhelmed. We noticed James kept dragging blankets and stuffed animals into a closet at our house when he wanted some quiet time. So we made it comfortable for him, and we let him hang out in there when he needs to. There are additional sensory issues that can cause problems over Christmas break. One is sleep, especially a lack of sleep, and the other is traveling. And when you combine the two, it's incredibly hard. 2 years ago, we spent 2 nights in hotels and a few nights at my in-law's house. James doesn't sleep well away from home. So we knew it was going to be really stressful, and so there were a few things we prepared ahead of time. We brought his favorite stuffed animal with us, of course, so he felt more secure. He also likes the feeling of heavy blankets when he sleeps, so we packed his quilt. We kept as close to his regular nighttime routine as we could, giving him a bath before bedtime. Since we can't leave him in an unfamiliar room alone, I went to bed with him each night until he fell asleep. We tried to keep the room dark and quiet, and when it still took hours for him to fall asleep, we gave him some melatonin. James often wakes up between 2 and 3 a.m. and doesn't go back to sleep. It's hard to deal with when we're at home, but it's extra hard when we're at somebody else's house. So our plan for when that happens when we're traveling includes, first of all, really good communication. So talking about the plan before we need the plan helps. We may decide that I'll do the 2 to 5 a.m. shift, and then my husband Lee would get up and let me sleep from 5 to 8. He might take a nap in the afternoon so that he can stay up late in case it takes a while for James to fall asleep, and that I could go to sleep early so I'm ready to get up early if I need to. We don't let the pressure or the expectations of being at someone else's house make us push James or David past what we know they can handle. Sensory challenges can be tough, but I hope these tips help you think of solutions for your family, especially if you're traveling or not sleeping well. Pray with me. God, Christmas is a time of celebration, but it also can be a time of stress. Please help us manage the stress so we can focus on the celebration. We know the night Jesus was born wasn't as silent as the songs make us think. He became a man so that he could be God with us. Be with us now, God, as we help our children be as calm and comfortable as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Over on sandrapeoples.com, you can check out a transcript of the show and see the show notes. I included links to sensory tools like we use, like the swing, the indoor trampoline, noise-reducing headphones, chew tubes. Just look for episode 3. Since this is our first series, it would be a huge help if you could take time to rate the podcast and share it with friends. Caregivers like us need to know that they aren't alone on this journey to take better care of themselves as they care for the people who rely on them. In this series, I've shared 3 keys to a calm Christmas, but there's one more. I'm releasing that episode for my Patreon supporters only. Starting at just $5 a month, you can have access to all the extra content I create just for them, including webinars, seasonal Bible studies, and personal family updates. Visit patreon.com/sandrapeoples to find out more. That's patreon.com/sandrapeoples.